We serve an awesome God, amen. We serve an amazing God, amen. We serve a supernatural God, amen. Tonight I want to speak to you about something that is close to my heart. You know, I must be very honest with you, when God touched my life, He touched my life in a supernatural way. And I believe that that's the way God works. If you can explain everything, then it's not supernatural. When we deal with God, there must always be things that we can't explain, because the secrets of the kingdom of God, God doesn't reveal to everybody. Amen? The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God belong to God, and He reveals them to those that seek Him. You know, the Bible says we must first seek the kingdom of God. When we begin to seek the kingdom of God, God will slowly but surely begin to reveal these things to us. And a lot of people don't understand, but why is it like that? Why is there so many things in the kingdom of God that are hidden? Well, look at it from this point of view. Have you figured out by now that the devil is always up to no good? He's always up to, I don't want to call it mischief, because what he does is 10 times, a million times worse than mischief. The devil is busy. Has anybody figured that out by now? Or is it just me? Then apparently you must all pray for me tonight. No, the devil is busy. You know, he's always busy. The Bible tells us he came to steal, he came to kill, and he came to destroy. Is that right? Now, if you know that there is a thief in your company, would you then take the blueprint of the brand new alarm system that was just installed to make sure that the thief doesn't run away with everything and leave it on the thief's table? Would that be clever? No, that would be stupid. In the New South Africa, that's common practice, but that would still be stupid, right? So God doesn't do it either. There are many, many things, amazing things, supernatural things, wonderful things pertaining to your life, pertaining to her life and your life and your life and your life and their lives, that God is not going to just throw out there for everybody to see, even for you. Do you know why? Because if you can see it that clearly, the devil can see it too. Then every step you take, every new thing you start, the devil will always be 1, 2, 3, 4 steps ahead of you, because he's read the blueprint. Can I tell you something about the way that we have to live our lives? We have to live our lives in daily dependence upon God. What's your name again, son? Marco. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? So do I. And your name again, Claire. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? All right. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got good news for you. God has a plan for your life. Oh, yes. God has a plan for your life. Auntie, did you know that God has a plan for your life? Then put a smile on your dial. There we go. I like that. Just show them that smile quickly. Get up. Smile at them. There we go. Okay, so God has a plan for your life. But here's the thing. How are you going to understand that plan? It evolves day by day. As you walk in faith and in obedience before God, little by little, God will reveal things to you. You know, a lot of people want to know what's going to happen 10 years from now, what's going to happen 20 years from now. You know, like when the prophets arrive. You know, a lot of churches, they have lots of prophets coming all over the place. Now, I have no problem with the prophetic ministry. I believe in it, and I believe that prophecy is for our age, and I believe that God can speak to His people. But I have a problem with people that want to run after prophets because the prophet must hear from God to tell you what's happening in your life. That's not right. The one that should be hearing is you, not the prophet. Prophets are there to confirm things. Prophets are not there to speak things into being. God wants to speak them into being in your life. And you know what the problem is? People are not living by faith anymore. And because people are not living by faith anymore and not trusting God to reveal His purpose, His destiny to them, they always have to run from this prophet to this prophet to this prophet. And I actually want to say this to you. There's a lot of charlatans out there and wolves in sheep clothing. They like to say, thus says the Lord. But if you saw which Lord they're talking about, you'd skrik and run away, because it's not God speaking. God, normally when He has something to say, He's very short and very sweet and to the point. You know, I've heard prophecies that's like pages and pages and pages. I'm sorry, God doesn't work that way. God is short, God is sweet, and God is to the point. And we tend to run to people like that when we don't take the time and have the faith to trust God to speak to us in our lives. How does God speak to you? God speaks to you on a daily basis and when on a need-to-know basis. You know, there's a lot of people, they want to know what's going to happen 5 or 10 or 15 years from now. Listen to me very carefully. God's not into fortune-telling. God's going to tell you what you need for now, because tomorrow you still have to have faith and trust Him. If God gives everything to you right now, you're going to be like a spoiled child that inherits a fortune. You're going to waste it, you're going to squander it, and there's going to be nothing left by the time you need it. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If I have to have faith for God to get me through today, then I'm going to have faith for God to get me through tomorrow. And for a lot of people, that's just too difficult. They don't like a religion like that. They don't like to hear that, I have to trust God tomorrow and the day after and the day after. Yes, that's how you become a child of God. To live every day by faith. Every step that you take by faith, guided by God. God must tell these feet where to go. Whether I go left now or right now or up now or down now. The Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. Amen. So one thing I want to say to you. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. You all know it. You know it well. But it's a good thing to hear again. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. No, it doesn't say without religion, it is impossible to praise God. It doesn't say without tithing, it is impossible to praise God, to please God. It says without faith. Look at your neighbor and say, I am called to live by faith. And you are called to live by faith. And I want to say something to you. It might not be the easiest thing in the world, but it's not the most difficult thing in the world either. It doesn't cost you nothing except to trust, to hope, and to believe in Him, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Are you going to have food on your table tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes. That's faith. If you answered me, depends on what's in my bank account, what, you have no faith. There's one answer to that, yes. When God sees that yes, He will add a zero to whatever's in there. Maybe, maybe not. That's up to God. But when God sees faith, His hand moves. Sometimes He adds a zero. Sometimes He sends somebody to do something for you. Sometimes He touches the heart of a stranger. You know what? The ways that God can work is infinite. And often, the problem that we have is we put God in a box. And we believe that God can only work in one specific way. My friend, listen to me. God is the most creative person, being that there ever was. Everything that you see around you, God created, not man. Because whatever man creates, it is the hand of God, the fingerprint of God inside of them that allows them to create. That's the difference between us and Satan. Satan cannot create. It's one of the reasons he hates man. Satan cannot create. He's not creative. He's a created being. But we were created in the image of God, and therefore we are creative. Have you ever seen a beautiful painting? Satan can't do it. But that artist can. Have you ever heard a beautiful song? Yeah. Satan can't do it, but that person can. Why? Because we are creative. God put something inside of us. He allowed us to be creative. Amen? For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's talk about that just quick. Have you ever had somebody that you were well pleased with? Just bear with me. Somebody did something in your life and you were well pleased with them. Right now, we're all pleased with our mothers today because it's Mother's Day, right? And so a lot of us, we took our mothers out for supper or for dinner or for lunch or for something to that effect. Why? Because we are pleased with them. Do you see how the moment somebody pleases you, it changes the way that you relate to them? So what would you rather have, God pleased with you or God upset with you? I don't know about you, but I don't want God upset with me because I've seen what He does to people in the Old Testament. You know, the earth opens up and He swallows them and they get leprosy instantly. And, you know, some really bad things happens when you upset God. So you don't want to be in that place. You don't want to upset God. You want to please God. And the Bible says without what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Tonight we need to talk a little bit about faith. I'm going to read you a scripture here. It comes from the book of Hebrews. No. It comes from the book of Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. I'm going to speak about a man by the name of Abraham. You all read about him. You've all heard about him. You know stories about him. But I want to show you just one or two interesting things about Abraham's life tonight. And we're going to talk about faith and how it's applicable to our life. Abraham was a man that was, in a way, open to living his life by faith. And the Bible tells us that because of this, he is called a friend of God. Now, Genesis chapter 24, verse 1 says, Abraham was old and advanced in his years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. The best thing that you can say about my life when I die one day is that. And Rian was old and he was advanced in years and he went to be with the Lord, but God had blessed him in every way. I don't care about other things. That's what's important in my life, that God be happy with me, that God be pleased with me, and that God bless me in every way. Now let's talk about every way. What would you say is included in every way? The lady sitting there, what would come to your mind? If God blessed him in every way, give me one area of his life that you believe was blessed. All right, okay, she touched on something very important there. Love is something that comes from God. Love does not come from the devil. Satan is a thief. He would rather steal love because he can't give love. Remember, he's not creative, he can't give it. If somebody has love, that means God has touched your life and you are blessed with love. So Abraham had a lot of love to give. And with love comes compassion and all of those type of things. What else would you say? What would you say? He was blessed in every way. Give me one or two things that he was blessed with. Hope. Okay, Abraham had a lot of hope. Yes, that goes along with faith. Give me something. What was he blessed with? Wisdom. Do you know that wisdom comes from God? Satan has no wisdom. If Satan had wisdom, he would never have messed around in heaven and got kicked out. With all due respect, he's stupid. He's thick as a plank. Because he had everything and he threw it away. Satan has no wisdom. So when you need wisdom, who do you have to go to get it? You have to go to God. And can I tell you the difference between a man with wisdom and a man without wisdom? Both of them have good plans. But the one always fails and the other one always succeeds. Guess which one succeeds? The one with wisdom. This man invents something amazing. That man invents something amazing. Both of them can become multimillionaires. He uses wisdom in applying it. He does not. Which one makes it? The one with wisdom. Which one leaves a legacy? The one with wisdom. Abraham, if he was blessed in every way, Abraham had a lot of wisdom. Wisdom helps us in daily challenges that we face. Sometimes a word out of place or a gesture or something can get you into trouble, but wisdom will allow you to do things the right way so that your life can go forward and not backwards. What would you say? What else was he blessed with? Ooh, there's a good one. This is one that should open all of your ears. If he was blessed in every way, then he was blessed with, wait for it, wealth. Of course, you were all waiting for that one. Nobody wanted to say it. But yes, Abraham was in that time probably the richest man on the planet. Abraham had more wealth than most kingdoms around him. Kings came to Abraham to lend money from him. That was a blessed man. Does God want to bless you financially? If you haven't figured that out by now, then I don't know, if there's probably no hope for you. But yes, finances, wealth is an area that God wants to bless you. The Bible says the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant. God delights in seeing you prosper, and prosperity includes wealth. Abraham was a wealthy man. He didn't have to wonder where his food was coming from. He had to wonder, what am I going to do with all of this food? Yes. What else would you say? What else was he blessed with? Health. Ah, there we have. Health. Let's talk about health. Can all the money in the world buy you wealth? Ah, health. You know what? With all due respect, there's a lot of stuff out there that the doctors can't cure. There's a lot of stuff out there that the doctors don't even understand. But the one that created us, God, who knit us together in our mother's womb, He knows everything about us. And when something starts going wrong, He's the one and only one that can fix it. We call it health. And health is a blessing from God. If you don't have it, you realize that, oh, I'm not blessed. If you have it, you should say, thank you, I am blessed. But I want to say something to you. God wants to bless us with health, just like He blessed Abraham. He was blessed with health. And then I heard another thing, peace. Yes. Let's ask a question. Is peace the absence of problems? No. Jesus was a man of peace. There was a lot of peace in His life because He is called the Prince of Peace. But listen to me carefully. Jesus did not have everything easy. He ministered on this earth for 3 years and a lot of people were against Him. They gave Him a hard time. He was thrown out of synagogues. People heckled Him as He walked down the street. The Pharisees couldn't handle Him. They trumped up charges against Him and they beat Him and they hurt Him and they did all sorts of stupid stuff. Peace is not the absence of turmoil, but it's the presence of God in the midst of that turmoil that will take you through. Amen? Yes, Abraham had a lot of that. If you know the story of Abraham, you will know that Abraham faced a lot of trials and he faced a lot of tribulations. Yet the Bible still says that at the end of his days, when you look back at his life, you could not argue he was a blessed man. I want to actually say that you know, a lot of the times we expect, because we are Christians, that we should not have problems. It's unbiblical. Jesus had problems. Paul had problems. Peter had problems. But God was always there for them in the midst of their problems, and He was the one that took them through and gave them victory. Amen? Sometimes a trial that we face or tribulation that we go through is simply the way that God is preparing us for something new that is coming. You know, if you want to start lifting weights, the only way for you to get to a heavier weight is for you to start training and exercising. And it's not always the easiest thing and the nicest thing to do. But the more you do it, the more you condition your body, the heavier weights you can lift. Now, sometimes God has to bring certain pressures onto your life to make you strong so that you can handle the big thing that He's going to put on your shoulders next. And sometimes that's just the way it is. We might not like it, but it's true. Now, Abraham, he had a lot of this stuff, but guess what? At the end of his life, when he looked back, the Bible tells us that he was blessed. That's where I want to be one day when I look back at my life. I want to be able to say, you know what? I was blessed in every way. Raise your hands if you would like God to bless you in every way, the way that He did Abraham. Lord, please eyeball these people and realize that they want to be blessed. I believe that God knows in your heart that you want to be blessed. Let's make this more practical. Who wants to be blessed with health? If you're not raising your hands right now, I'm going to lay hands on you. There we go. Of course you need health. What's wrong with you, young man? You think to yourself, I'm young and everything is still working fine. Wait till you get to 40, eh? Then you raise both your hands. Okay, who wants to be blessed with prosperity? Who wants to be blessed with peace? Who wants to be blessed with joy? Lots of joy. Abundant joy. Amen, I like that. Have I mentioned peace? Okay, I did mention peace. Did I forget the money? Who wants to be blessed with money? I was expecting at least two people to start dancing. Yay! Yeah! There we go. Amen. All right, listen to this. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Abraham was old and advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Wow. What a statement to make about somebody's life. Then you have to understand something, that Abraham must have lived his life in a different way to most people. Because a lot of the people in the Bible, you cannot say that about them. There's a lot of oaks there that were not blessed. Let's take King Saul, for example. He was blessed when God called him to be king. But he didn't make a very good king, did he? And he didn't die a nice death. You know that he died on the battlefield with an arrow that went straight through his heart, right? That's not the way to go. And one of the reasons why he was not a blessed man is because of something called disobedience, which, let's just be very honest, in society today and in the generation that we're living in, that's a really big problem. The spirit of disobedience is very busy right now. So let's take a look at Abraham, because Abraham was an interesting man and he lived his life in an interesting way. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read from verse 8 to verse 13, and then we're going to talk about that just a little bit. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed. Look at your neighbor and say, Abraham obeyed God. I can actually stop the sermon right there because I think you should get the message by now. Abraham stood out from other people because his heart was different. You know, sometimes God, let's take you for example. What if I was to ask you, Tony, to do something which would be a little bit crazy? What if I was to ask you to wash this floor and have it spick and span by 12 o'clock tonight? There's two ways you could react. Probably there's many ways you could react, but one of the ways could be you could look at me and say, oh, what have you been smoking? Are you crazy? Listen, you're not my mother. Don't you come and talk to me that way. You know? There's all sorts of ways that he could respond to me, or he could say, you know what? This is God speaking. Probably it's time for me to do this. I don't understand why. Does God have to explain to you why he wants you to do stuff sometimes? You know, I want to say something to you. God doesn't have to explain nothing to you. God knows why he says what he says. God sees the future. We don't. And what God wants to see first and foremost is obedience. The best way to act when God tells you to do something is say yes. Do it, because later probably the penny will drop, or the pieces of the puzzle will fit and you will understand why. And that's where faith comes in. Faith is trusting that God knows best. And when he tells you to do something, even if it sounds flaky, even if it sounds weird, even if it's quirky, I'm going to do it anyway, because that is called obedience. And it is obedience that moves the hand of God together with faith. The reason why Abraham was called a man of a friend of God, why Abraham is a different person, why he's got the blessing of God till a ripe old age, is because of two things: obedience and faith. And do you think it's the most difficult things in the world to do? Come on, Mr. Tony. Is it difficult? No, but it will cost you a price. You'll have to make a decision and say, I am going to do this and I don't care. I don't care what this one says. I don't care what that one says. Let me talk to you about another man. We're going to get to him. His name was Noah. Noah was told one day by God to build an ark, which was a really weird and a really quirky thing for God to ask him to do. Most people don't understand this, but when God spoke to Noah and told Noah to build an ark, nobody had ever seen rain before. Did you know that? The earth brought forth the water. The way that they got water back then was from natural springs and fountains and rivers, etc., etc. But there was no rain that had ever fallen, which was why everybody was on his case and giving him a hard time when he started building this boat, because he spoke about water that was going to come, and they'd never seen so much water. I mean, there was enough water, don't get me wrong. But they couldn't understand how he can want to build a boat that size, because where's all this water going to come from? And you must understand something, it must have been extremely difficult for Noah to build that boat with everybody heckling him and calling him an idiot and a moron, because why are you doing all of this stuff? But he was choosing to be obedient to God and not to listen to man. And guess what? When God sees that in you, it changes the way he looks at you. He built that boat never having seen rain. And you know what? Soon after he finished it, everybody was probably getting together and having a party and having a good time. And then suddenly the sky started going dark. And I don't think they'd ever seen that before. They must have thought to themselves, you know what, if they were like asterisks and obliques, they would have said, oh, the sky's going to fall on my head. And it did. It started raining. And for the first time, they saw something that they'd never seen before. Water started coming from up there. And you see, because the water kept falling and falling and falling and falling, pretty soon they needed boats. But the little dinky toys that they had at their disposal wasn't big enough to handle their families with everything else. But you see, God knows the future. God knows the plans. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. God knew that there was a plan, and when God spoke to Noah, God knew there's a reason why I want you to do this. God didn't have to explain to him why. God just said, do it, and he chose to obey. One of the problems that we have, when God wants us to do something, we want a long explanation, but why? Sometimes God just moves on to the next person that's not full of nonsense, that says, okay, I'll do it. Because God doesn't have to explain anything to us. And that's what set Noah, people like Noah and people like Abraham apart. When God told them to do something, they didn't give me a long explanation. Prove it to me scientifically. God doesn't have to. In fact, when God starts doing stuff, science can go out the window because Jesus could walk on water. God doesn't need science to do what he wants to do. In the days of Elijah, it hadn't rained for 3 years. God spoke to Elijah and God said to him, by this afternoon it's going to rain. They'd had famine for 3 years and there wasn't one cloud in the sky. He prophesied and he said, it's going to rain. I can tell you now, everybody ridiculed him. Everybody said to him, you must be a moron. There's not one cloud in the sky. Nothing is going to happen. Oh, today you're going to be proven to be a false prophet. But can I tell you something about Elijah? He was a man of faith. He dared to be obedient to God. When God spoke to him and said, do this, he started prophesying. He started speaking. He started crying out. He kept telling his servant, go and check. The servant came back and said, oh, there's still not a cloud. He said, go back and check. He didn't take no for an answer. He kept telling him, go back and check, go back and check. And you know what? The seventh time he went, he came back and he said, oh, there's this tiny little cloud. It's about the size of a man's hand. And I can just see Elijah start smiling. To you and me, it's like, but what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. It's a tiny little cloud. No, that's the start of the promise being given. And the next thing you know, the drought was over. It was finished. God wants people with faith. You know, Jesus asked the question, we've spoken about this before, but Jesus asked the question and he said, when I return to the earth, will I still find faith? Are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to be obedient to God? Are you willing to have faith in God? This is the people that God is looking for. God is looking for people that dare to be different. And I'm going to show you just now why I say that. Do you dare to be different? Get up quickly. Jump up and down, round and round. Yes, you do dare to be. She's different. I like that. Bless God, you're different. Amen. She's different. Okay. Genesis 24 verse 1. Abraham was old and advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Now, what I wanted to show you before we went any further was that Abraham must have lived a different type of life because he was blessed in every way. But I want you to understand something. God is not a respecter of a man. If God wanted to bless Abraham that way, then God wants to bless her that way, and her that way, and you that way. But probably we're not living the same life that Abraham lived, and that's why we don't have the same result that Abraham had in his life. So we need to just look at a couple of things, and if we can put the same structures in place that Abraham had, we will have the same result in our life. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Just like the guy that built the boat, just like Noah did not know why he had to build the boat, so Abraham did not know why he had to leave, but God had a plan. Now listen to this. Actually, verse 7 speaks of Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, do you hear that? Not yet seen, not no rain. In holy fear he built an ark to save his family. By faith he condemned the world and became a heir of the righteous that comes by faith. Now, going back to Abraham, verse 9. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because God considered him faithful who had made the promise. So he considered God faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he was as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Okay, I'm going to read the second part later. I want to show you something very interesting about Abraham that is told us here in verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Louis, where is your prosperity? In God. That was a good answer. It's not the one I was looking for, but it's a good answer. I want you to listen to me carefully. Abraham looked forward. Look at your neighbor and say, Abraham looked forward, not backward. Can I tell you where we make a big mistake in our life? When we look back. Your prosperity is ahead of you. If you look for it, you'll find it. Your peace is ahead of you. If you look for it, you will find it. Your health is ahead of you. If you look for it, you will find it. Your breakthrough is before you. If you look for it, if you expect it, if you trust God for it, you will find it. I'm going to read you this again. Listen carefully. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, and as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham was a man of faith because, listen to me carefully, when God called him initially, he was living in his father's house. His father was one of the wealthiest men in the world. He had a royal life. He had all these people serving him. He did not have to lift a finger. He had servants. He had maidservants. Everything you could wish for, he had. And then God comes one day and says, listen, yeah, I've got something better for you. Pack your bags. Let's go. And then, as he starts off on his journey, he has trials, he has tribulations, he has problems, problems, problems. Guess what the devil told him? Oh, you made a big mistake. Oh, this is not working. Oh, this can't be God. You got too many problems in your life. My friend, when God called him, he didn't make a mistake. When God called him to build a nation through him. You can't say that about many people, can you? God called him to build a nation through him so that he could be a father of nations. But I want to tell you, when he started on that journey, he had problems, 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 problems. But you know what set him apart from most people? Most people, the moment there's a problem, they look back at where they came from. Oh, I want to go back. Case in point, the Israelites. 400 years after Abraham, the Israelites go into the promised land. They see the promise that Abraham never saw, but work towards. They are liberated by God from the Egyptians, and they have to cross the desert to get to the promised land. A journey of pretty much 8 days. On the first day, they start complaining, oh, we made a mistake. Let's go back to Egypt. If God has called you to do something worthwhile, which he has, there's going to be trials and tribulations on your way. Do you understand that? Raise your hands if you believe that God has called you to do something worthwhile. Now, look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, prepare yourself. There will be trials and tribulations. How do you get through the trials and tribulations? You better start doing what Abraham did. Look forward, not back. The moment the trials and tribulations come, the devil comes and speaks to you and he says, go back. What does he say to us? Oh, you know what? When you lived in the world, you had much less problems. Have you heard that voice? Come on, who's heard that voice? When you lived in the world, you had much less problems. Just go back to the world. No, you can't go back. Abraham did not go back, and therefore he was called a man of faith. Therefore he was called a friend of God. I can guarantee you one thing, that voice is going to speak to you. If not today, then tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then the day after. You know, there's some of you, yeah, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, I won't say a word, but you used to do business this way. And you used to do well. Then you came into the kingdom and God began to speak to you and he convicted you. So now you don't do underhanded business anymore. But every now and then that voice comes and speaks to you and says, oh yeah, one deal this way and one deal that way and you make a lot of money. Can I tell you who's busy speaking to you? The devil. Can I tell you why he wants you to do that? Because then you open a door for him. And can I tell you what's going to happen? A storm of note is going to come through that door the moment you open it. He wants you to give him the gap to destroy you. He doesn't like the path that you are on right now because on this path you are dangerous. Dangerous to him. Because when your breakthroughs come, a lot of destruction will come into his kingdom. The devil doesn't want anybody to prosper, and he will use any means possible to try and push you back. He wants you to look back. Who can help me? What happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? You are so clever. Why did she turn into a pillar of salt? Because God doesn't have time for people that keep looking back. You keep looking back, that's what happens in your life. You stand still. And your life goes nowhere. Abraham was different. He had the trials, he had the tribulations, he had the problems, he had the issues. He had to give up a lot. I want to say something else to you. When God calls you, sometimes it costs you a price. You have to give up certain things. Let's speak to some of the young people here. And some of the old people here. If you really want to walk a road with God, you better be prepared to give up on a lot of things. And you know what? For some people, that's just, oh, God can't expect me to give up on this. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Abraham was expected to give up on all his servants, on his father's house, his comfortable chair. Okay, let's make it applicable to today's people. He had to give up the Ferrari. He had to give up the penthouse and the house by the sea. No more DSTV. No more big screen TV. The Walker as well. And the Drifter. And the tablet. And the laptop. No more, none of these things. The what? There was no blackberries, but yes, the blackberry as well. The closest he came to that was blueberries. But he was expected to give up everything and walk a road with God. And still today, there is not one man or woman of God today that got anywhere in the kingdom of God or made any difference if they weren't willing to sacrifice certain things in their life. When God calls you, he wants you to leave things behind, and he doesn't want you to look back at them every now and then longingly. That's what Lot's wife did, and she didn't make it. You've got to stop looking back and start looking forward. Now listen to this. Verse 13, speaking of men and women of faith, says this: all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Ooh, wow. How scary is that? You know, I should have had that song now, but I think it's the Police. I'm an alien. I'm a legal alien. Huh? Did you hear what they said there? They admitted, they freely admitted, and they were proud of the fact that they were aliens and strangers on this earth. My friend the alien, I'm pleased to meet you. My friend the alien's wife, I'm pleased to meet you too. I've always thought that your hairstyle is a bit weird, but now I know it's just alien. Amen? Of course. And Diane, I've always thought that there was something wrong with you, but now I understand that you're just alien. I'm only joking. That explains who I am. I'm an alien. This is a big thing. If you can understand this, you'll understand why these people touch the heart of God. Because they refuse to be part of the establishment. They refuse to be part of the structures of this world. They wanted to be different. They insisted on being different, and they viewed themselves as different. Abraham never thought, I'm better than this, I'm better than that, but he understood that I'm different because God called me. If you can't come to the place that you embrace the fact that God wants you to be different, you are not going to be a man or a woman of faith. What is right for the world is wrong for you. What is acceptable in the world is not acceptable for you. What the world worships, what the world idolizes, what the world glorifies is nothing to you. You have to become an alien. You have to become different. And the moment God sees that, look at this. Oh, this is powerful. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on this earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country that they left, they would have had the opportunity to return. But instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and He has prepared a city for them. This is speaking of men and women of faith, and it tells us what made them different. Do you know what made them different? They didn't mind the fact that they don't fit in. They didn't mind the fact that when they go to a party and everybody is speaking and telling bad jokes and in poor taste, that they were the ones that stood up and walked away. They didn't mind the fact that they were teaching their children different values from the neighbors. They didn't mind the fact that people said, oh, you know what, that one is so stuck up and this one is this and this. They didn't care. Because they weren't living their life to please people, they were living their life to please God. And the Bible says when God saw that, it pleased Him, and He's building them a city of their own. Is there anybody here tonight that wants to be an alien? Do you want to be an alien? You're quite alien looking already. You're halfway there. Do you hear that? Listen to this. If they had been thinking of the country that they left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Abraham, if he kept saying to himself, oh, I had a better life before, oh, I'm missing my father's food or my mother's this or my... Eventually, he would have turned back and gone back. But he understood one thing, when God calls you, you've got to let go. And he chose to let go. And the Bible says because he chose to let go, he showed God that he was an alien. And look at this. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Is there anybody in this place that is longing to belong to a heavenly country? Me. Lord, me. What would you say the heavenly country is called that they were longing for? Okay, heaven, but that's not really correct. It's called the kingdom of God. These people were longing to become part of the kingdom of God. And I've said to you before, the kingdom of God is a supernatural place. Hold it. Wait. The kingdom of God is called what? A supernatural place. The kingdom of God is a place where, even though you have no money, you still make it the end of the month. The kingdom of God is a place where even though you are sick, one touch from God sorts you out and heals you. The kingdom of God is a place where everybody says it's impossible, but God makes it possible for you. Amen. The kingdom of God is a place where everybody is against you and everybody says you are going to fail, but God gives you victory anyway. The kingdom of God is a place where an entire army can drown in 1 second when the finger of God is released and the seas close up. The kingdom of God is a place where you can walk through a sea on dry ground. The kingdom of God is a place where miracles still happen. Even though the world tells us we are mad to believe in these things, the kingdom of God is a place where it happens. Can I tell you why the world thinks we are mad? Because the world does not know the kingdom, and the world has not seen the kingdom, and the world can't understand the kingdom, so they will think we're crazy. But there's nothing wrong with me, and there's nothing wrong with you. We simply choose not to look to the city we came from, but we are expecting a city that is still coming, a new place. We've got our eyes locked on the future. We are expecting great things. We are expecting the blessing of God. We are expecting healing. We are expecting restoration. We are expecting deliverance. We are expecting victory. We expect it today as if it has already happened, even though we don't see it, and the Bible calls that faith. Is there anybody here that wants to live their life that way? Oh, yes. There's people here, you're waiting for breakthrough. Your breakthrough is in your future, not in your past. There's people you are waiting for finances. Your finances are ahead of you, not behind you. There's people you are wanting healing. Your healing is staring you in the face. Don't look for it in the past. You'll find it in the future. It can happen 10 seconds from now. It can happen 20 minutes from now. It can happen tomorrow. But you're not going to find it if you keep digging in the past. You're going to find it when you start looking forward and you start having an expectation. You know, the Bible says, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. What is your faith for the day of tomorrow? No. You gave me a textbook answer. I asked him, what does God have for you in the future? What does the tomorrow hold for you? He says, only God knows. No, what should you say to me? Prosperity. What else? Say again. A bright future, prosperity, hope, joy, peace, love, a bright future, the blessing of God, the favor of God, breakthrough. A man of faith speaks that way. If you can't speak that way, probably you don't have faith. But you see, here's the thing. He's not wrong. He's just not taught. So we're teaching him. If I asked you, you might have got it wrong as well. If you asked me, I might have got it wrong as well. But you see, God wants us to live like aliens. Let me just keep quiet, Louis, because this is going to be too easy. God wants us to live like aliens. We need to start thinking different. We need to start acting different. When the pawpaw hits the fan, the world starts falling apart. When the pawpaw hits the fan, the kingdom of God says, God is in charge. Don't worry, it'll be sorted out. Amen. God wants us to come to a place that we have a paradigm shift in our minds. We start thinking and acting differently. Now, I want to show you something interesting. Abraham was a man of faith. He's also called a friend of God. Now, I want to show you something interesting. Listen to this. Do you know that angels spoke to Abraham? I'm sure you read it in the Bible, but let me show you this. Genesis chapter 22, verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on that boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now, the scene was Abraham was going to sacrifice his son because God spoke to him and said, do this. God was simply checking to see whether he was obedient and whether he had faith. When it was time for his breakthrough to come, who was it that gave the breakthrough? An angel of God. An angel of God came and gave the breakthrough. An angel of God came and gave the release. Now listen to this. Genesis chapter 22 verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and because you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of all their enemies, and through your offspring all the nations of the earth will be blessed. because you obeyed me. When his blessing was released, it came through an angel. Did you hear that? Now, why were so many angels involved in this man's life? Because he was a man of faith. Why were so many angels involved in this man's life? Because he considered himself to be an alien. Abraham, according to the Bible, considered himself an alien. He understood that even though I live in the world, I am no longer from the world. And what happens in the world has no bearing on me because God is in charge of me. Is the inflation rate a problem for you?
No.
I like you. No. Why is the inflation rate not a problem for you? Because you're an alien. You're passing through, but you're not from here. Your finances don't come from down here, it comes from up there. And the more you look at your boss as your provider, the less God is going to provide for you. You should be looking to God as your provider because the Bible says He is your provider. And if you're looking to the doctor for healing, let me tell you something, you've got a problem because the doctor is not the healer. God, the Bible says, is the healer. And if you want Oprah to come up with a nice story to give you some deliverance and healing and whatever in your life, let me tell you something, you're going to go nowhere because Jesus is the only one that can set you free. He came to set the captives free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He did it then. He's still doing it now. The question is, do you have faith in Him? I don't know about you, but I do. My name is Rion. I'm an alien. No, not ET phone home alien. I'm a different alien. Hello? I'm a different alien. Georgie, my alien brother. We are here. We might be from here. We used to be from here. But now we're from a different place. Rion, what have you been smoking? Nothing. I'm reading the Bible. Hello? I'm reading the Bible. Now look at this. Look at this. Genesis chapter 22, verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. When you are an alien, when you understand that even though you are in the world, you are no longer of the world, and that God is your provider, God is your healer, that God has destined your footsteps and that He's in control of your life, then something amazing starts happening for your children. Did you hear that? Is there anybody here that wants their children to be blessed? Okay, let me say something to you. Some of you, you got policies and you got this and that and you got things going on. You've got plans for the future. You don't know the future, but God does. What is the best investment that you can make for your children? Is it the money that you're going to try and leave them in the bank? Or is it that God will be the one that blesses them? My friend, the only way for your children to go forward is if God Himself is the one that blesses them. I say to you, two businessmen both try and start a business. One is blessed of God, one is not blessed of God. Which one's business will succeed? Even if the one blessed of God, his business plan wasn't as good as the other one's, he's the one that will stand the test of time because God is involved in his life and not in the other one's life. You want your children to go forward, give them a good investment. Become an alien. Start living your life differently. Understand that you are part of a supernatural kingdom and you serve a supernatural God. Have faith in Him and see what God will do for your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. Genesis chapter 24, verse 7. This is quite amazing. In this instance, let me just give you the background. Abraham needs to find a wife for his son, Isaac. He sends out one of his trusted servants to go and find a wife for his son. The reason he's sending this servant is because he's living in a foreign country, but he needs his son to marry an Israelite, somebody from his background, because God spoke to him and said his son mustn't marry the locals. So the servant has to go and find a wife. Now the servant is like stressed. The servant's like, but what if I find the wrong one? What if she won't come? What if I don't find anybody at all, etc., etc.? Which I can understand, because this is a really tall order. Go find a wife for my son. Listen to how he answers him. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's house and my native land, who spoke to me and promised me by an oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angel before you so that you will find a wife from there. And he came back with the right wife. But why did he find the right wife? Because an angel of God went with and prepared the way. An angel of God made sure that the right woman was at the well when he went there. An angel of God was there to make sure that she said yes when he spoke to her. What am I trying to show you? Abraham, because he was a man of faith, there was a lot happening behind the scenes in his life that most people could not see. Most people looked at him and thought, what on earth? You know what? God's got favorites. How does this work? How does this man have all this cattle? How does he have all this land? Why does he have all these servants? Can I tell you why? Because Abraham's life was busy. There was a lot of angelic activity around him. And I want to ask you the question, why? Because he was an alien. Because he never made his roots down here. His roots were with God. He was looking towards God all the time. He was just passing through here. And his attitude was, Lord, while I'm passing through here, if you want to use me, that's fine. You want me to make an impact somewhere, I'm going to make an impact. You want me to do something for you, yeah, I'm going to do it. You want to use me, I'm available. But I belong to you. I don't belong to this world. I submit to you. I don't submit to the laws and the God and the what of this world. And when God sees that in your life, the supernatural kingdom that you belong to starts working with you. And things fall into place for you in a way that they cannot fall into place for other people. In this case, this angel went to open doors. Is there anybody here that needs some doors opened? Let me tell you something. There are some doors you cannot kick open because they are supernatural and they are spiritual. But there are angels that have the keys to those doors. But they only work for those who are aliens. They don't work for the locals. They work for the aliens. They work for the ones that dare to be different. They work for the ones that seek a city that is different. So I want to ask you this question. How many supernatural things do you need in your life right now that if I was to give you even a million rand couldn't make a difference to your situation, because the only way for it to be resolved is supernatural? Is there anybody here like that? Yeah. So how are you going to get to that place? The fact of the matter is, without the help of the kingdom of God, you can't. But when you get to the place where Abraham was, it happens spontaneously by itself. Angels are real, whether you like it or not. An angel spoke to him. An angel went with his servant. Listen to this. Even his servants were blessed because the angels went with and helped them in their job. Hello? Mr. Wilson, don't you think it would be a bargain if you had an angel, an alien angel... working with you in your company? Don't you think it would be wonderful if you are in a business and you have to go and see somebody about business, but the angel has already gone to prepare the way for you? You walk in there. You know, sometimes we could be stupid. We go into a place and the kingdom of God went ahead of us and prepared the way for us. We walk out there and we pat ourselves on the back. Wow, I'm such a good person. No, it's not about you. It's about God. It's not what you did. It's what God did. Abraham was a blessed man. The Bible says he was blessed by God in every way. The devil is real, but so is angels. Demons are real, angels are real. The kingdom that we are part of is more powerful than anything that Satan can bring against us. If you try and resist the devil in your flesh, in your natural, he will walk over you and wipe the floor with you. But if you begin to resist him in the spirit and you resist him utilizing the kingdom of God, you will walk over him and you will wipe the floor with him. But can I tell you something? Wait for it. Only aliens can walk over the devil. Locals can't. I want to ask you a question again. Anybody want to be an alien? I want to be an alien. I want to live a different life. And I'm sure you want to live a different life. I know that you are an alien. And I know that you are very weird. To me, that makes you alien. But weird for man and weird for God is two separate things. You know, my friend, a lot of the things that we think is right, God thinks is wrong. And a lot of the things that we think, oh, but that's not good, that's not right, God says, why not? That's the way I operate. One of the reasons why the church doesn't experience the power of God is because the church doesn't want alien things to happen. Weird things are not allowed to happen. Apparently, we've become a society that frowns on anything supernatural. Since when? Since when is God not allowed to rock up in church? We understand now that God is supernatural, right? And we pray and we ask God to come into our meetings, and then things start happening, supernatural things, and everybody runs away and it's like, ooh, that's like Satanism, that's from the devil, that's witchcraft. Says who? That's how God operates. We need more of that, not less of that. We need to come to a place where every single church operates that way. Listen here, my friend. If you walked a day with Jesus, you would have hardly seen any normal things. Everything you saw with Jesus was supernatural. Come on. He walked on water. He commanded the deaf ears to open. He commanded the blind eyes to see. In fact, he spat in people's eyes, put mud in their eyes, and they started seeing. People that couldn't speak, he would spit on their tongues and they start seeing. Ach, talking. Thank you. That would have been an alien. Yeah, I'm an alien. What do you want me to say? He touched the wine and it kept flowing. He spoke to the bread and it didn't disappear. It just kept coming and coming and coming. That is the city that God built. That's where we should be going towards. Let me show you that again. Hebrews 11. Listen to this. For Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Abraham was in his heart expectant and trusting God for this supernatural city to come. In our case, the city has come. It's called the kingdom of God. It's open to everybody. But only few will find it. You know, the Bible says that the path to the kingdom of God is narrow. And only few will find it. That doesn't mean God doesn't want us to get there. That just means that the criteria to get there is going to exclude a lot of people. Because you can't be a citizen of the new city and a citizen of this world. You've got to give up your citizenship in this world to become a part of the kingdom of God. And for some people, that's asking too much. What? You mean God wants me to give up this and that? Yes, he does. You mean God wants me to change? Yes, that is the foundations of the kingdom of God. It's change. It's called repentance. It means that you have to change. You have to live your life differently. It's not impossible. In fact, when you start getting committed, it gets easier and easier and easier. I need to end off. Abraham, according to the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse 1, was old and advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. You want to know why he was blessed in every way? Because he wasn't a local. He was an alien. Because he didn't look towards the world, he looked towards God. He wasn't stuck in this, he was looking forward. The past didn't matter to him, the future was what he lived for. He had an expectation. He knew that God could do anything, and he expected God to. And the Bible calls that faith. And the Bible says because of this faith, he was a very, very blessed man. And so can you. Just as blessed as he was, so God wants to bless you. I want to say to you again, God is not a respecter of man. If God could do it for Abraham, God will do it for you. God will do it for you. God will do it for me. You're facing a challenge right now. Tomorrow, God will sort out that challenge. How can I say that? Because your deliverance is in your future. When you look forward, you will see it. When you look back, forget it. You will never have it. Did you hear that part where the Bible says, if they had looked back, they would have gone back? That's why so many people start walking this road with God, but they never finish it because they're not looking forward, they're looking back. You can't finish the road looking back. You can only finish the road if you look forward. Where's your breakthrough? In my future. Where's your healing? Listen to me carefully. It can be 10 seconds from now. It can be 2 minutes from now. It can be 5 hours from now. But expect it, because it's coming. Where's your money? Okay, there's some in your pocket. But the big amount, the blessing, is somewhere in the future. Is it today? Is it tomorrow? I don't know. But expect it, because it's coming. That's faith. You should wake up every morning with an expectancy. I know I've told this joke before, but probably some of you haven't heard it. There's this joke about this father. He had two sons. He loved the one and he couldn't stand the other one. So Christmas comes and he has to give presents to both his children. He's got this two socks hanging there by the fireplace, and the son that he loves gets a brand new PlayStation, and he gets a DVD player, he gets a surround sound, he gets a quad bike, you know, all the nice things that kids like. Brand new laptop, brand new tablet, the whole toot, everything is there. All these big boxes there. And for the other boy, because he doesn't like him very much, he went there to the stables and he got a whole heap of manure and he dumped all the manure there. So the two boys, they wake up, they run down. The first boy sees all the boxes, he starts taking them apart. He's like smiling from ear to ear because he's got all of the stuff. And the second boy, he sees this heap of manure and he starts going crazy. He's bouncing off the walls. So the father looks at this and he thinks to himself, man, this oak is worse than I thought. He's crazy, he's loopy. He says, why are you so excited? All I see is manure. The boy says, Dad, with all that manure, there must be a pony here somewhere. Yeah. Amen. According to your faith, it shall be given unto you. Where's your breakthrough? It's coming. Where's your healing? It's coming. Where's your favor? It's coming. Where's your deliverance? It's coming. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please.